turning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24 tonight. Exodus chapter 24. I want to read at verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you will, look at verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient." Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for all of your blessings to us. We thank you for the blessing of peace and safety, for your care as we meet in this meeting tonight. And we do pray for these people in Uvalde, Texas. We cannot even imagine the pain and the sorrow in the hearts of these families who have lost their precious children. But Father, you are the God of all comfort. And we pray that you might convict there those who are lost. We pray that you would comfort those who are saved. And we pray that in the churches in that area where there will be funerals, that those pastors there who know you as their Savior would bring the message of the gospel, the only message that has hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. We pray that you would bless our study of your word tonight. And just speak to us from it to help us to see something of the battle that we're involved in every day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to come back and try to finish some of the thoughts that we started Sunday evening. And those thoughts concerned another of the patterns that we've been talking about from our studies in the book of Galatians. In a couple of our recent messages, we have talked about the pattern for which Bible the local New Testament church is to use to preach and teach and pastor from. Which Bible is to be the standard for all matters of faith and practice. Which Bible follows God's pattern of not adding to or diminishing from His Word. And what we've seen is that Bible is the King James Bible. And so that being the case, and since the command of God to His church in Matthew 28:20 is to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And all things whatsoever He has commanded us is all the words of this book. And since the command, since the charge of God to His church in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 is preach the word, then the pattern for our services is to be preach the word. The pattern for our services should be what we find here in God's word. That's why we came to these verses in Exodus 24 Sunday night. In verse 4 we read that Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And in verse 7 we learned that he wrote all the words of the Lord in this book of the covenant. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. the audience of the people. We noted Sunday night, that is an assembly. It's a gathering of the people of God. It is a picture of what you and I know in the New Testament as the local church. And the purpose of this gathering of the people of God was for Moses, the man that God had raised up, to read all the words of the Lord. The purpose of this meeting was to read the inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God. For us, that is the King James Bible. And we know that because when we hold this book in our hands, we are holding all the words of the Lord. I don't apologize for belaboring the message that is in this little phrase, all the words of the Lord. Because it's an impossibility. It is an impossibility for a church to be obedient to the command of the Lord Jesus to teach people to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us. When the pastor or the preacher or the teacher opens up a Bible version based on the work of Westcott and Hort, where nearly 10,000 Greek words, 9,970 to be exact, have been added or subtracted or changed. Any church that leaves the King James Bible has left the pattern of God, and they're on their way to apostasy if they aren't there already. And that would include this church if it ever leaves all the words of the Lord, the King James Bible. And so the pattern for our services is to be that the men that God raises up in this church, they're to preach and to teach His Word. It's the primary purpose of our meetings. They are to read all the words of the Lord. They're to read the King James Bible. This is the pattern for our gathering in the name of the Lord. The centerpiece, the focus, the purpose of why we gather is to hear the Word of God. And I hope we will see that why that is so critical tonight. We saw Sunday night that when Moses took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, that they said in verse 7, all that the Lord has said will we do. And we noted that these people didn't receive what they were hearing as the word of Moses, but as the word of God. And we saw how the people in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said of those people, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, that's what these people are doing here. They are hearing the word of God that Moses received from God, and he's reading to them. Paul said, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. This is what the people of Israel did here. All that the Lord has said will we do. And that led to a question Sunday night. A question that we should use to examine ourselves. The question is this: how do we receive the word of God that we hear in this church? Do we receive it as the word of men, or as it is in truth, the word of God? How we receive it will determine what effect this book has in our lives. But I want to come back to something that I think we mentioned briefly Sunday night. And that's the effect that the reading by Moses of all the words of the Lord had on these people. hearing all the words of the Lord, produced in the people of God here a desire to do and to be obedient to the Lord. That's what verse 7 says. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, nobody's twisting their arms. Nobody's going through the crowd with a sword or with a big stick that they're slapping against their hands. They said, an act of their will, all that the Lord has said, will we do and be obedient. This is the effect that the hearing of the Word of God had on these people. This is a critical, critical point that we want to think about. Keep your place here and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in chapter 9, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about giving. And he gives them, or he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example that the believers in Corinth should follow. And he sends Titus and some other brethren, apparently those who the money is for, to receive the offering from Corinth. And so the immediate context here is giving. But what I want us to see tonight is that Paul says something that I believe applies to every facet of the Christian life. It's a critical, important point as we try to live the Christian life here in this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, and let's begin reading at verse 10. Paul says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Verse 11. "Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Notice what Paul says to these people in verse 11. That as there was a readiness to will, a readiness to do. Paul calls that a willing mind in verse 12. That as there was a readiness to will, that as there was a willing mind, so there may be a performance also. Now, what these words suggest to us is that there are two aspects or two parts to doing and being obedient to the Lord. Obedience begins with a readiness to will, a readiness to do. Obedience begins with a willing mind. And then what follows a willing mind is a performance, a doing. Now, what does that have to do with Exodus 24 and verse 7? Well, let's go back there and read it. And I hope we'll see it. Exodus 24 and verse 7. "And he," as Moses, "took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient." Hear God's people. And they are exhibiting a readiness to will. They're demonstrating a willing mind. Where did it come from? What got these people into this mindset? What got them to this first aspect of doing and being obedient? The first part of verse 7 is what got them there. Gathering together and hearing Moses, the man of God, read in the audience of the people. And this word audience, when we read it, we think about y'all, an audience. But this word isn't referring to a crowd. This word means ears. It means hearing. The people of God were gathered together, and Moses read in the audience, he read in the ears, in the hearing of these people, all the words of the Lord from the book of the covenant. And the gathering together to hear all the words of the Lord and hearing His word produced in them a readiness to will, that there might be a performance. It produced a willing mind to do and be obedient. This is why God commands us in Hebrews 10:25, one of the verses that we mentioned Sunday night. And we ask ourselves a question concerning that verse. Do we receive that verse as the word of men? Is it something that the speakers here in this church seem to hammer on every time the wind blows? Or are we receiving it as it is in truth, the word of God? Tremendous difference. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Paul wrote, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And how does this exhorting take place? Through the preaching of all the words of the Lord. We know that from 2 Timothy 4:2, where Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. That's done through the preaching of the word of God. And when you put these two verses together, what we learn is that we are to gather so much the more to hear the preaching of the word of God as we see the day of the Lord's return approaching. Preaching the word of God is going to become more and more important. Can't you see by this place being full tonight how important it is? Is it really important to the people of God? It's like that because 2 Timothy 3 tells us that these are perilous times. Physically perilous times, as we saw in the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas yesterday. Physically perilous times, as we see the earth filled with violence. I don't know who's winning the violence race, if it's Durham or Raleigh. But it seems to get worse there every morning when you turn the news. But these are not just physically perilous times. I think more importantly, they're spiritually perilous times. They're deceptive times. The Lord Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. It's never been like this before. Deceiving and being deceived. And it is in that chapter where Paul begins in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he lists all of these signs of the last days. If you came and you heard Brother David Cloud's messages on prophecy as light for the 21st century. One of the chapters that he dealt with was 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's in that chapter that talks about these perilous times that Paul reminds us of something very critical. That we're to continue in the things that we've learned. And what is one of the critical things that we've learned? That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And then in the very opening words of the next chapter, Paul doesn't lose his thought. Here's these perilous times. Here's the anchor of our soul in these perilous times. All Scripture that's given by inspiration of God. And how does he begin with chapter 4? He begins with a charge. He begins with a charge from God to preach the Word. Preach all Scripture that's given by inspiration of God. Preach all the words of the Lord. That tells us again, very plainly, which Bible that we're to preach from. The one with all the words of the Lord. The King James Bible. It's not one that's 10,000 words short. So here's the pattern for the Bible that we're to use. And here's the pattern for what we are to do when we gather so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to take the book of the covenant and it's to be read in the audience of the people to the end that there might be in God's people from the pulpit to the pew a readiness to will. That there might be a performance. That there might be a willing mind to do and to be obedient. There's something here that we don't want to miss. It's something that may have gone through our minds. I have to be honest, it went through my mind. We may not verbalize it, but we might think it. And what might go through our minds is a criticism of these people. What might go through our minds is a criticism of the people of Israel because we have the history of their actions. We have the history of their words. We have the history of their actions. And what we find is that they spoke these words in verse 7 that sound so good. But then they went out and lived in a way that was the exact opposite. Here they are in church, if you will allow me to use that term. Here they are where they are gathering and Moses is reading from the book of the covenant. He's reading from the Word of God. And there in the church, they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And we know from the history, what did they do? Well, they did the exact opposite, didn't they? They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They missed the onions and the leeks and the garlics and all of the spice of life in Egypt. That was their history. Let me ask us a question tonight. How many times do we come to this place and we hear all the words of the Lord? And we may not verbalize it. In fact, we don't verbalize it. But we say in our minds as we hear it, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. How many times do we come and hear all the words of the Lord and there is a genuine readiness to will? There's a willing mind. There's a recognition in our life that we need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to serve Him. We need to walk with Him. need to be a blessing to him. We need to be a witness for him. There's a readiness to will. There's a willing mind. But what we find when we leave here, what we find is that what we lack in our life is the same thing these people lacked. A performance. Performance. What is missing in our life is the doing and the obedience to all the words of the Lord. Folks, I want you to think about that as a gap for just a minute. The gap between the readiness to will and a performance of that which we know to do. The gap between a willing mind and doing and being obedient to the Lord is the battlefield of the Christian life. That's where the battle is. Every moment of every day. Isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7? Turn over, if you will, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now listen to these next words. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." There's the gap. There's the gap. The gap between the readiness to will and a performance of that which is right. The gap between a willing mind and doing and being obedient to the Lord. Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's what the people of Israel found, isn't it? All that the Lord saith, we will do. Look at them a few days later. We want to go back to Egypt. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Now notice verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 23 is the war of the gap. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." That's the war of the gap. The gap between the readiness to will and a performance of that which is good. The gap between a willing mind and doing and being obedient to the Lord. At that constant war, every moment of every day brings us to a conclusion in verse 24. We just read it. "A wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The manifestation of the body of this death is the war of the gap. Verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not." So the question becomes, how can the gap be bridged? How can this gap between the readiness to will and a performance of that which is good, how can that take place? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For to will is present with me. That is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of truth. Who the Lord Jesus said in John 16:13 will guide you into all truth. And that truth is all the words of the Lord. That truth is the Word of God. John 17 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And how is that sanctification, that consecration, that setting apart for God going to happen and become a practical reality in our life so that there this gap between the willingness and the readiness of mind and the performing shrinks? Where there's not a difference between what we say and what we do. I'll tell you one of the primary ways. The preaching of all the words of the Lord. Most Christians know nothing of the war of the gap. Because the preaching of all the words of the Lord is all but non-existent in their lives. They come into a church that opens up some other version. They come into a church where the majority of the time is spent in praise and worship, which is just another way of saying the rock and roll music hour. And there's nothing in from the Word of God to even produce in them a willing mind, a readiness of mind to will. And so they go out and they live this life that they think has spiritual value to it. It doesn't. Something that the Lord has impressed on my heart recently is that we cannot begin to imagine the importance of the people of God gathering together like this. We can't imagine how important that is in the mind of God. How it must grieve His heart tonight to see how many churches are closed. They're dark. But I'll tell you something else that grieves His heart. To look down right here and see that there's more empty seats than there are full seats. We can't begin to imagine the importance of the people of God gathering together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And hearing as the men that God has raised up in this church. Heard Brother Vic thank the Lord for these men tonight. And I thank the Lord for them. But to have them stand up, these men that God has raised up, and take the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people of God. This is the pattern that we find here in God's Word. And there's a bunch more verses that I wanted to look at tonight that show us just how prevalent this pattern is all through the Word of God, including in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll have to do that in another message. The question tonight is, how is it with us? Are we in the war of the gap? Do we come to hear the preaching of all the words of the Lord that it might produce in us a readiness to will that there might be a performance of that which is good in our lives? Or are we content with finding not how to perform that which is good? Content with just going our own way, doing our own will? May the Lord help us to examine ourselves tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the consistency of it all the way through. The truth that we find in the Old Testament is the truth that we find in the New Testament. And we pray that we would be willing to allow you to examine our hearts tonight. Consider how important these meetings are. How important they are. Do we see that importance? Do we live a Christian life where we profess to have a readiness of mind, but there's never any performance of that which is good, of standing for you? We pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.